goes back to, for Caleb in particular, just his spatial awareness and, you know, his ability to see the full picture, knows where everyone is, and that's where I see it with him, you know, as he continues to develop, you know, really just getting a handle on the reps and the accumulated reps of certain concepts. But as far as seeing the picture and then being able to get to different windows or different rush lanes that he finds, you know, he's got that natural ability.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's the offensive coordinator. That is Shane Waldron speaking about his charge. One Caleb Williams, the Bears quarterback now and forever.
I'll say this about Shane Waldron. He has gotten more comfortable talking about this offense, about his quarterback, about his role in this season. He's going to be heavily scrutinized. That's used to be, and maybe still is, the toughest job in town. The Bears offensive coordinator receives as much scrutiny as any assistant coach in any sport, right? More than the batting coaches, more than the, you know, whatever NBA assistant, more than any other assistant coach in any sports town, especially Chicago.
Well, I think especially in Chicago, because this has always been a defensive-driven franchise. So I think a lot of the head coaches have had a defensive background. And even when you had an offensive coach or two along the way, the defensive coordinator was pretty good, and you had a good feeling about the defense. The difference with this team, the difference with this particular coach, is that they have built this team up. The talent on the roster, the skill position talent, is so much better than you ever saw with any Bears quarterback coming in before. Jay Cutler came here, and you thought, oh, my God, they got a 26-year-old Pro Bowl quarterback. It's, you know, they got the great defense. This is it.
And then they stopped.
And basically, then you found out, well, he's going to need a receiver. Now you need a guard. You better get a tackle. You got to have... Like, it became...
Let's give him Earl Bennett.
It became a litany of what you lacked as opposed to what you had added.
That's a good point.
And I think this time round...
It's more complete. They're more prepared.
Oh, my God.
The infrastructure was there. And I think Waldron seems to be maybe the last piece to that puzzle. And I know that he came before Caleb Williams, but there was such an expectation that they were going to get him. That job was so important. And you remember, we wondered during the interview process if Caleb Williams came up, if you wanted to know what direction they were going, because at that time it was still a little suspense. They hadn't traded Justin Fields yet. So Shane Waldron comes, he arrives, everything has gone so well, so far so good. What I really like about the small sample size of this preseason, especially the 43 snaps that we have seen from Caleb Williams, are two little subtle things, Mully. I like the way that, number one, he seems to be open and I think really leaning into moving the pocket.
Yeah.
Moving the pocket with a quarterback that processes things quickly and keeps his eyes down the field and clearly is comfortable throwing on the run accurately. You want to do that as much as possible because it also helps protect an offensive line that is in a state of flux still.
He's not just comfortable throwing on the run. What we've seen is him throwing to all levels while on the run.
Yes.
Like we have seen him able to uncork it on the run. We've seen him able to throw it pretty strong going left on the run. We've seen him be able to check down, be able to hit mid-range passes. They have attacked out of a moving pocket at all levels of the field.
And to that point, sometimes Caleb Williams, if you want to be hypercritical, you would like to see him stay in the pocket a little bit longer, but he's so comfortable and confident in his ability to put it where he wants to on the move, he'll escape the pocket maybe just a shade quicker than he needs to. Young quarterbacks will learn. The clock in their head will get better. But I think that's a good sign. We always say with offensive coordinators, well, they need to move the pocket more. That can help your offensive line. It'll help your tackles protect better. That's number one. The other thing is the use of misdirection. I love the waggle pass. I love the misdirection where you are obviously not only the naked bootlegs, but any bootleg, the action moving out of the pocket, but the ability to have choices at every level. He can dump it off. Maybe the tight end's coming across, or you have the deeper option. And when Caleb Williams has that misdirection and Shane Waldron leans into that, it gives you a sense that they know what they're doing.
Do you have a sense of how they're going to mix in the run game? Do you have a sense yet of how they're going to try to balance the offense that they run?
I really feel like that is going to be their bread and butter, and they want that to be their identity. I really think that would be a mistake to get to they're not fans. They're not media. They can't get overexcited about what Caleb Williams represents as a passer, as a playmaker, as an explosive weapon. What they need to do is to take a deep breath. And I think that they're going to do this and lean into the running game, because the best way for Caleb Williams to realize his potential as a rookie is to have a strong running game that defenses have to respect as priority one every time they play the Bears. So that offensive line, they need to become great run blockers and then adequate pass protectors. And then you're going to see DeAndre Swift thrive. Then you're going to be able to see maybe it's Khalil Herbert. Maybe,
oh, you nearly bit your tongue.
I did, because I don't know if he'll be here, but I think if he is, that's your surest 1-2 combination. Establish the run, which sets up the other things we're talking about, the play action pass, the bootlegs, the misdirections. Those are the kinds of things you want to do. When you can run the football, everything else becomes possible.
Yeah, I kind of like the blend of their running backs. I like the idea that that DeAndre Swift can not just run the ball but catch the ball out of the backfield. I like the idea that Roschon Johnson can be more of a power one-cut runner. And I like the idea that that Herbert can explode a little bit and be an outside guy and be like an almost change of pace type of guy, you know, the kind of traditional third down type guy, although, you know, you've got to worry about whether or not he can pass block, so you're not sure that he's an every down player, that kind of thing. But I like the blend of those players. I'm not sure what you get out of Velus at this point. I haven't just seen enough of it. I loved that they did an end around with Rome Odunze.
That was a really creative play.
I think he's a really good player that can help you in different ways. Yes.
Well, so I think you mentioned three running backs there. Are they all going to stay? Because let's do the roster math. If you keep those three running backs you just mentioned, Swift, Herbert, and Johnson.
Yep.
You've got Travis Homer, who's a special teamer that is here because of that.
Yep.
You've got Kari Blassingame, who I think has a role in this offense.
Let me ask you, are you keeping three tight ends? Because you're definitely keeping Komet and Everett. That means you're keeping Mercedes Lewis.
I think you have to keep Mercedes Lewis.
I think you have to, because you're uncertain about some of the offensive line stuff. So now you're keeping three tight ends, a fullback, four running backs. I mean, I'm just saying.
That's why I don't know.
There's a pinch already there.
If you're going to be able to do that, there are going to be other positions that have great need. You always are going to need an extra cornerback here or there.
Exactly.
Let's also remember the practice squad is 16 players deep. It has been for the last several years. Not that that provides you cover, but in a way, it allows you to stash players who you might need in a pinch. You go week to week by elevating guys, by demoting guys, and you play the roster math that way, the way that the Cubs or baseball teams do with their AAA, you know, shuttle back and forth.
And that's the difference being that anybody in the league can grab your practice squad guys, right? And that's
always
not
a fear, but less of a concern now.
Well, I think it's more of a concern now than before.
Why?
Because the Bears are no longer the team that is going to be signing guys from practice squads to their regular season roster.
That's true.
They now have a roster, so people are going to look at their secondary and say, who is that guy that had that one game? And they could lose players off the practice. I'm just saying.
Fair enough, but they're in a better position to absorb that.
They have a deeper roster as a result of
they
it.
They do.
But I guess my question is, okay, so Amagaji, I don't know why I'm stuck on this one. He's coming back. You got 19 days. There's got to be a ramp-up period.
He's on the 53.
I know he's on the 53. Can he play right away? Is he one of nine, one of eight? One of how many? See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you have to keep him on the roster because he has to be on the roster, does that mean you're going to lose somebody that you don't want to lose, especially if you're going through guards like, you know, a sailor on shore leave going through cash?
I don't think that your offensive line is going to lack depth because you have to keep him active necessarily.
I just think if he can't play week one, if he can't be able to be the left tackle, then you're going to have to keep a left tackle. They've got, you know, they have Larry Borum's been on this roster for a while. We've seen him play before. That Cochran's pretty good player that mm-hmm. they signed. That I'm just saying they have players that could be on this team that might not make this team. They have players that might be in the league that might not be with them.
This should be that difficult of a team to make. If Ryan Poles is correct in his assessment, then this is going to be a difficult roster to make, and your 9 offensive linemen are going to be 9 guys you trust in a pinch. I don't think you keep 10. I don't think you can afford to do that. Okay. I think you have to look at the rest of your roster and understand that the attrition that is inevitable on the offensive line position, you're still going to be in a position to handle that.
But doesn't it feel like the attrition is worse for the Bears than some offensive lines? I'm being honest. They've had, right? I mean,
perhaps.
Do you count on Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis to be starters all year long?
No.
That hasn't happened.
No, it hasn't
so
happened.
So is Ryan Bates okay to start the season? Is he one of your guys? Is he the center? Is he the backup center, backup offensive line? I'm just asking. He's on the roster. I'm just saying, how many of those guys can you hang on to?
Well, right now, when you're looking, okay, so let's jump to the offensive line. Your starter is obviously Braxton Jones and Tevin Jenkins on the left side. Your starter at center is Coleman Shelton. Ryan Bates and Nate Davis, you're going to pick whoever you believe is healthiest at the time, and Nate Davis is likely going to start at right guard. Ryan Bates has not practiced, and we don't know why, so he's missing for a while. That's the kind of injury that...
Did I not hear it was a shoulder? Did we not get that somewhere? Maybe I'm delirious.
There's some research there, but then Darnell Wright is your right tackle, and then the rest of the depth will take care of itself. You're going to have guys behind them that you hope you never have to use. But in all likelihood, you will, as early as week 2, maybe week 1. Injuries are going to happen on the offensive line more than any other position group.
So you're keeping 3 tight ends and a fullback. And I'm not trying to cause problems. I'm just asking a roster question. Mm-hmm. Who's the punt returner? Because if you're keeping a kick returner and you're keeping a punt returner, now you got a problem with the squeeze of the roster.
Velus Jones might be the odd man out. I mean, Velus Jones could potentially be the odd man out if you, depending on how many running backs you choose to keep. And you look at Travis Homer being kind of a tweener there, you're going to have to make some difficult decisions, because if you keep somebody just to return punts and that somebody is Dante Pettis, you've added an extra wide receiver that to me seems like a luxury.
See, that what's interesting about that is Pettis could also return kicks, but you think that Velus is a better kick returner. But
they
my
do
problem
too.
Is,
they
I,
do too.
And I'm not saying it's wrong.
Yeah.
My problem is I don't see any scenario in which Velus returns punts. So he's there for a singular role all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to keep a long snapper. You got to keep a kicker. You're keeping your punter. There are specialist positions. Can you have a kick return specialist? And does it change because of the new rule?
DeAndre Carter is a guy on the roster as a specialist. Can you have more than one of those guys on your 53? I doubt it. You saw also the Bears. I think they experimented with Josh Blackwell. Did he not return punts on Saturday?
Didn't he let one fall, though, and didn't?
It's not an easy job.
I'm not saying it's easy.
It's not an easy job.
Just but saying, did anyone grab that job by the
I only
throat?
Point that out as a means of underscoring how they're still maybe experimenting with options, because they know the roster math too. They don't know how many wide receivers they want to keep. They don't know how many running backs they want to keep. But again, back to the original, how this discussion started. When you talk about the Bears offense and the need to have a strong running game, I do think that it would behoove them to keep a fullback, because that is a guy that you want on the field in short yardage situations, and you want to be a team that can get the tough yard in short yardage situations. I like that throwback mentality. I know it's not modern NFL, but you've got the modern NFL thing covered with three wideouts that are dangerous, all of them.
You got three wideouts that are dangerous, and you're keeping a fourth wideout in Tyler Scott. So are you keeping five wideouts? You almost have to, right?
Yes.
But you can't really keep six is what you're saying.
I don't know that you can afford to keep six.
Okay.
I think your fifth guy is a hybrid guy.
Because you're keeping three tight ends and a fullback.
I think it could come down to, I don't know if the Bears are looking at it this way. It's convenient to look at it as an either or, the fullback or the sixth wide receiver. And if you're doing that, you know, look, this is a good problem to have. This is really like, and I always go back to like when you have a team that you feel very good about the main components and you're debating things that are depth pieces, which are kind of second level concerns, that's a good spot to be in as a football team. Because we're not talking about, well, you know what, if they could only go out and trade for this wide receiver or if they could sign this pass rusher that gets cut off another team.
Right.
Remember the years, and it wasn't that long ago, where we were waiting for the waiver wire claims next Tuesday so the Bears can supplement the roster with eight guys that got cut.
Exactly. No, this is a totally different deal. But I wonder, you know, we haven't even gone – you've got to – balance your team. We're talking about a lot of the kind of skill positions and the offensive players. You look at your defensive line. We're talking about specialists on the defensive line. You're keeping, you know, there's no way you're not keeping, you know, Sweat, Billings, Dexter, Walker. Those are your starters.
Yeah, those are your top four.
You know, obviously you're keeping Austin Booker, your draft pick. There's no way you're not keeping him.
Definitely.
How many, you know, Zach Pickens looks like he's made this team.
He's got to make this team.
Yes. Has Dominic Robinson made this team? Cowart, do you have a guy that can play Billings' position if anything happens to him?
You need to keep him active because, or at least on the 53, because of the concern over injury for Andrew Billings, somebody we never talk about but always count on. Yes, you need to have depth at the defensive tackle position. Daniel Hardy has played his way into consideration for a roster spot.
See, this is an interesting
and
one.
And probably has passed Dominic Robinson, even though Dominic Robinson has changed and transformed his body. He doesn't look like a former wide receiver any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But the clock is ticking on his tenure here because you wonder – if he's a luxury, can they stash him on the practice squad? I don't know that any team is going to be in a hurry to go out and poach him, but I think he's a guy that could, conceivably be a candidate to go back there.
Okay, so your linebackers, right? This is just an interesting one. Is Noah Sewell making this team?
He's been injured, right? He's a guy that has not been active in practice. He's also a draft pick, so I think that gives him a little bit a degree of protection. I do think he probably makes this team.
T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jack Sanborn.
Ogbonbamiga
is listed.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, amen.
Ogbonbamiga is definitely a guy who flashed on Saturday.
Yeah.
You cannot overlook a guy like that having a good camp and being rewarded for that. And what about Micah Baskerville? As somebody else, about a roster spot and a special teamer. He's a guy that probably deserves to have a little bit of a look.
So, you know, safeties for a second. You know, Brisker, Byard, Hicks, Jonathan Owens.
Yeah, they're all gimmies. They're locks. Owens, obviously. Hicks. You need him for depth because what
Hicks is good.
What's going on with
he's been starting
Jaquan
ahead.
Brisker?
Brisker, I guess yesterday came back to some individual drills.
Yeah, limited, he was out there.
Right.
Kevin Byard missed practice. That never happens.
No.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah, that's our guy.
That's our guy.
He told us.
I hope he didn't strain something picking up after somebody.
He told us a great story about Kayla Williams that went viral.
We like Kevin Byard.
Because someone else got mad about it. All right, we got a lot to get to. I just think that this is the fun part of it, where you're talking about what's the final 53-man roster going to look like, And that's coming on Tuesday. Right?
It's coming a week from today. A week from today.
Yeah, and they have to make these decisions by then.
And maybe when we come back, we'll talk about how many quarterbacks, if this is the roster crunch, how many quarterbacks can you afford to keep? Can you afford to keep three?
Two.
Hmm.
Yeah, just Austin Reed and your guy, Pageant. What? All right. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
Secret.
Pageant.
Secret.
Pageant.
They've given you a number and taken away your name.
I love Tyson's poise. You know, he played with that calm, cool, and collected, demeanor at the line of scrimmage, was able to get right through, whether it was right through a progression to a second or third read or number ones there, and he played in great rhythm right there. So he just showed that poise in the running game, you know, the ownership of the offense. So it was great to see. And talk about a guy that hard work pays off. Man, no one's going to outwork him. And so it's great to see that out on the field.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is Shane Waldron talking about Tyson Bagent. And the Bagency is open. And he is pretty much secure as the number two quarterback on this roster. And obviously, David, you know, we had talked about, and again, I'll go back to the Bears listing on their depth chart, the or between the two quarterbacks, that no longer a condition. There is a clear winner of the backup quarterback battle. Were there one to begin with?
Yeah, I don't think there was one to begin with. With due respect, I think the Bears had very little to do with the wording there. I don't think there's ever a doubt that he was the backup quarterback. Went 2-2 as a starter last year in relief of Justin Fields. Showed some uncommon poise for somebody who made the jump from Division III or Division II. And I think has displayed high degree of confidence and played with that belief in himself, and on Saturday against the Bengals, completing 7 out of 8, nice touch passes to Dante Pettis. And I think Brett Rypien was here because of his experience in the Shane Waldron offense. That's a great addition and asset.
How much experience did he have?
He had 25 days. He had 25 days. There were 25 glorious days, and he studied and he made use of all of them. I'm not going to diminish his experience and what value that maybe carries to the Bears, what it means to that quarterback room, which is a very healthy one, it seems, as we see on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was ever a time where Tyson Bagent was not the backup quarterback in the eyes of the Bears.
Yeah, I agree with you. But they did put that okay. flip card together, okay. And they did use the word or. That was the Bears, whether it was an underling or whether it was the coaches that was there. Yeah. And I don't think that I don't think it was a I think we know what the hierarchy is. And honestly, I would keep two quarterbacks. I don't believe if you wanted to, what did you just say? The taxi squad is now 16.
The practice squad's 16 members deep.
Okay.
And you can have 16 players there. That's a good spot to stash the Nathan Peterman role, if you want to call it that. Now, the question then would become, I guess if you get really in the weeds and somebody at House Hall is deep in the weeds of this, Austin Reed is your fourth quarterback, Brett Rypien is your third quarterback. Is there room for both of them at the expense of whom if you keep 16 players in your practice squad?
No.
Okay, so there's or the other. It depends. I mean, it always depends. It depends on what Austin Reed has shown you in practice. Do you think that he's a developmental project? My sense would be that you have other needs that are more pressing at other positions, and you could always feel like, you can make the argument, defensive tackle, you can never have enough of those. Offensive lineman, you can never have enough of those. And then you get into the cornerback and defensive secondary situations. It's hard to justify keeping four quarterbacks under contract.
What's really amusing to me, and I don't know why I find this, the irony of it appeals to me, but the practice squad, one of the reasons you began a practice squad is because you could not develop quarterbacks. The NFL was having a hard time doing it. And so they thought if we develop a practice squad, then everybody will have a quarterback that they're training and using as a scout team quarterback. And then they found out that most teams didn't do that, that most teams would rather have an extra lineman or an extra defensive player, whatever it might be. And so they ended up expanding the practice squad to 8, thinking that that would encourage more quarterbacks, especially after the World Football League went defunct and there was no longer a place to sort of grow your quarterbacks. And what they found out then is that nobody was using an expanded practice squad for a quarterback place to hide. Well, in other words, I think 1 out of 16 would be the right number. I don't think 2 is, especially if you have young quarterbacks ahead of someone, right?
I think that's a good point. It also, things have changed since the origination of the practice squad, or because quarterbacks really aren't developed anymore. The NFL does not develop quarterbacks at a rate that it used to, because we look around the league and yesterday Jaden Daniels was named the starter and people were wondering, why didn't that happen sooner? Well, it's August 20th. Mm-hmm. Why didn't that happen sooner? Caleb Williams has been the starter since his pro day.
Yeah.
You look at Bo Nix making a charge in Denver, likely to get named the starter there after being considered a reach in the draft. And then Drake May, you know, putting heat on Jacoby Brissett in New England to the point where yesterday Jerod Mayo stopped short of declaring his starter and keeping true with his original commitment to Jacoby Brissett. The point being, quarterback development is a thing of the past. Right now, you draft somebody in the first round, you play him immediately. They kind of learn on the job. So these practice squad ideas are guys who might be used in a pinch. They might be good scout team quarterbacks,
right?
But you don't want to keep too many, because it's as always at the expense of another position.
I would imagine once the season begins that Caleb Williams will get every prep. Tyson Bagent will get a couple of plays and he will be the scout team quarterback, and that's how he will concentrate on learning the position. You cannot give reps away because you're so limited with them, and you've got to, especially with a young player, use every minute you have with developing him.
No doubt about it, but that's the nature of the position.
That's it.
And that's why you really want your backup to be somebody, and this sounds crazy because last year we didn't even know who he was at this time, but that's why you want somebody with the experience that Tyson Bagent offers. He's been the starter. He was 2-2 as a starter. He fulfilled the role of the requirements of your backup. Just get us through.
He
just go 500.
I saw somebody.
First, do no harm.
And I don't know. Again, this is some nonsense on Twitter, which was like, should someone try to trade for Tyson Bagent?
That was on Twitter.
Yeah.
I saw that too.
Like, number one, why would you trade your quarterback? Why would you trade your backup quarterback? You have a starter, and then you have a backup, and every team needs that.
Because to accumulate draft picks?
Yeah,
no.
For what?
No.
That's fine.
No.
What's extraordinary is that Tyson Bagent is a phenomenal story. A guy that came into the league in the fashion in which he did, from Division II, not even a guy playing for a major college program, and he's going to make at least 2 years in the NFL. That's unbelievable. That is an unbelievable story. He's having a career.
I don't disagree with that, Mully. And you know how much I love the story. And you know how much I was...
You wrestled his old man.
I wrestled...
It started out with arm wrestling, but pretty soon the two of you are throwing each other around the studio.
They had me a hello, let's face it, okay? But this has gone beyond just being a good story. I think what we're saying here is that based on his preseason performance, I know it's only one game or a couple games, but he has looked the part more so than he did last year, or maybe the continuation of what we saw at times when he did start. Tyson Bagent is not somebody that is just a novelty and a fun guy to talk about because of where he came from. Tyson Bagent is a guy you talk about because of the way he can put touch on the ball when he's hitting Dante Pettis across the middle or in the end zone or commanding the line of scrimmage or getting rid of the ball quickly. He has skills that the Bears can utilize and are ideal for a backup role.
And could you think of a more effective use of funds than having a guy like that as your back? As opposed to, you know, drafting a guy in the first round when you just gave Kirk Cousins like enough money to retire on.
Or going out and getting your expensive backup, paying $3 million for a guy to hold a clipboard.
$3 million? I mean, try 10.
Yeah. Some guys are more expensive. The Chase Daniel model. Somebody like that. You're saving yourself a lot of money when you have a backup quarterback who is as cheap and affordable as Tyson Bagent is. Don't trade him. Treasure him. Because this is a guy that is an asset on your roster.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great asset for you. All right. 312-644-6767.
Austin Reed, his time will come maybe. His time is not now. I know that he's a great story on Hard Knocks, and the producers and directors and everybody affiliated might be disappointed, but I think his days are numbered as a Chicago Bear. Tonight, by the way, Hard Knocks, episode 3.
Oh, wow. Let's hope it's better.
What? Is that your first reaction?
That was all I thought. I just hope it's
good. You hope it's better.
I thought the first one was really fun.
Yes.
I thought the second one lagged a little for me.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't disagree with that.
And first I know they got the cuts coming, so it's going to be good as you move forward.
I would like to see a little bit more behind-the-scenes chatter. I would like to see a little bit more behind-the-curtain conversation between coaches and players and players, whatever the case may be. I don't need the game action.
Yeah, but you got foul language sometimes in those in that chatter.
Well, not with these Chicago Bears.
By all accounts, the Bears don't want to hear any potty mouth.
That's true. That's from the top. George McCaskey has made it clear to his staff and to his players that they would like to clean it up. And to HBO. And they have the final say on edits, correct?
Yes, the Bears can take out whatever the...
It's amusing.
And they don't want bleeps.
You know, it amuses me that triggers people.
Use your words.
There's not enough for profanity. I can't enjoy this. That's not football.
This is total
horse hockey. Jiminy Christmas.
That's Lovey.
It's Lovey.
He's the guy who should be featured.
Can you not respect coaches who don't curse?
I have no problem with non-cursing coaches. I like it.
I wonder how much Dave Wannstedt cursed when he was a coach.
We can ask him next. Dave is a fairly clean-mouthed man. He's not a guy that's out there. We've never had
very polished
to leap Dave.
Dave is very polished.
Yeah.
Now he's very active. Congratulations. We'll talk to him. Marquee Sports' new Bears post-game co-host.
Oh, great.
An analyst.
Love hearing Dave talk.
As long as he keeps showing up on Tuesday morning.
There you go. That's all that really matters. Don't forget where your bread is buttered, Dave.
Exactly.
It all started, it started with your career, your wonderful career. But we need you.
We need him.
We need you, man. We'll bring in Coach Wannstedt next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
When he hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, now joining us. On the Aturo Tire Hotline is Coach Wannstedt. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dave, good morning. How are you, sir?
I am good, fellas. Absolutely. Things are real good. I'm just kind of getting ready here. It's kind of the calm before the storm, before this thing kicks off for real.
And congratulations. We've been reading with great interest that you're now going to be doing the post-game show on the Marquee Sports Network. That is a ton of fun.
You look great at Wrigley Field, Dave.
Yeah. You know what? God, the bases loaded. They couldn't get a run. That was a tough one, you know? Not to get on to baseball. But I tell you what, it's kind of sad because I was with NBC Sports for so long. And now, obviously, they're not there. But on the other side of the coin, it's a great opportunity for marquee sports. And when you think about it, I mean, was there ever a better time? Was there ever more of a buzz? Was there ever more enthusiasm for the Bears than right now? So I think marquee sports, by jumping in on the Bears thing, is really, I think the timing is perfect.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the Bears thing and the timing seems perfect. You know, the Bears, the excitement level, the whole Caleb Williams arrival and the starting, everything we've seen, we're learning more about how he learns and how they've tried to make sure that happens. Is that the process you go through, Dave, whenever you're dealing with the quarterback position in particular, understanding how a guy understands, how he learns, how to teach something to him? Do you have to vary what you're teaching and how you're going about it depending on the person?
Absolutely. But, you know, the Bears situation, if you look around the NFL, different than maybe Denver, different than New England, where some of these other top picks went. Ryan Poles, you know, they made up their mind that it was going to be Caleb Williams, and it's his job day one. Sometimes, you're going to get pros and cons of that. But what they did do is they eliminated any type of quarterback controversy. They told him that he was the guy, and Walter has done a fantastic job. An opportunity to do what he's comfortable with at this point. So, you know, sometimes that works if the guy is mentally ready, as you mentioned, Mully, and he can handle everything. And not just the X and O's. There's a lot of guys that are smart enough to get the playbook. That's nine, most of them are. Okay. It's really, can you, in the heat of the game, when things are happening live and their pressure is coming and the coverages are changing, can you make adjustments? Can you make plays? Can you incorporate the playbook then? And that's what Caleb's done a great job of.
Dave, Caleb Williams has played 43 snaps, I believe, in two preseason games. If he doesn't play Thursday night, there will have been 22 days between Saturday against the Bengals and the opener against the Titans. Matt Eberflus has not announced whether or not he plans to play Caleb Williams Thursday night against the Chiefs. What would you do if you were Flusy?
I probably would not play him. Only for the fact that going back, even when we had four preseason games, when you got to this last game, it was your final evaluation on the guys that you were going to keep, the guys that you were going to cut, the guys that you wanted to put on the practice squad. You know, so that's the mentality that your football team has. And, you know, I would just be concerned about sticking him out there with some veteran players that you really didn't want to be out there, and maybe their minds weren't into it because it's the last preseason game and something crazy happened. So I would not play him. He's the guy. He's played enough, in my opinion. I'm really happy. I like the way Flus, how he approached it. I'd get ready for the season, and I would get Bajent a bunch of reps. I would get Rippon reps out. You know, we got a lot of guys that they're trying to make decisions on. I would put the emphasis with those guys.
When we talk about putting together a roster, Dave, here we are. We heard from the general manager before training camp started. After the draft, he said this is going to be a difficult team to make. And it does look that way. When you start squeezing the numbers, it looks like there could be some good players that will not make the Chicago Bears, NFL players that might not make this roster. What's interesting to me is that we've seen a shift from waiting for cutdown day so you can sign four or five more players to now maybe you're cutting guys that could land up elsewhere.
Yeah, hats off to Ryan Poles and his staff up there. Absolutely, Mully. I remember after the first preseason game, we were talking about ripping at quarterback.
Yeah.
Could he unseat Tyson Bagent? Well, you know, when you look at having a tough time to make our roster, Bagent, he had a fantastic game. God, he was, at least in my mind, there's no decision who's the second team quarterback. And then we're talking about our secondary, the depth. Blackwell showed up, who's been around here for a while. And he proved that, hey, he's a more than capable backup and a starter if you need him for Gordon or for anybody to fill in. Terrell Smith, last year coming out of training camp, guys, you know, our corner from Minnesota, I thought, and I know for a fact, I won't get into the names, but I know that they were torn who was going to be the starter, Terrell Smith or Stevenson, the corners. So my point is that now they got to, and he made plays in the game. So the guys that they needed to see, in my opinion, showed up and solidified their positions. And then you got, you know, some newcomers. The Hardy kid made plays. Everett, the tight end, I thought that Caleb, you know, was trying to get him the ball a little bit too much. But and then our man Austin, Booker keeps making plays. So I think that's a great point. We're not looking maybe the pass rushers that are going to be out there are out there. Okay, everybody's still hung up on getting another quality pass rusher. I get that, but on final cutdown day, that's not going to be a factor. Okay, what's a factor is these young players and building your roster. And I'll tell you what, I don't think the Bears. I like what they have. I truly do.
All right, we're going to be right back with Coach Wannstedt. He's not going anywhere. We're going to continue the conversation. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.